Did you know that your calendar age does not always match how old your body truly is? Your biological age and the age of your cells and organs is the number one predictor of your risk for serious diseases. That's why I ordered the True Age test from True Diagnostic. With just a simple at-home finger prick, you can uncover your true biological age and get personalized insights. No doctor visits, no labs. Look, I'll be honest. When I learned that if your biological age is just 5 years older than your actual age, your disease risk can jump 30 to 50%. I got a little bit nervous. I mean, I'm the guy who thinks ketchup counts as a vegetable. But up to 90% of biological aging is driven by lifestyle. The way we eat, move, sleep, and manage stress has a massive impact on how fast our bodies age. True Diagnostic gives you a personalized report with science-backed steps to actually slow down aging. I'm kind of dreading what my results might say, but I am curious. Maybe this will finally be the wake-up call that gets me and you back on track. The test is super easy. Send in your sample using the prepaid mailer, and in 2 to 3 weeks, you get your detailed report. If you care about protecting your health and want to find out what your real age is, head over to TrueDiagnostic.com and use my code ZABE to get 20% off your entire order or subscription. TrueDiagnostic.com, promo code ZABE at checkout to get 20% off. Your future self will thank you. Don't look now, but the holidays are going to sneak up fast. But it's not too early to get your shopping done and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you cannot find anywhere else. The website is packed with high-quality, unique gifts that are often handmade or made in the U.S. Many are crafted by independent artists, and because they're made in small batches, the best finds can sell out fast. For example, you know those plastic baseball helmets that you can put ice cream in? They actually make those in ceramic, so they're not just cheesy plastic throwaways. They're a more permanent bowl. Ooh, who doesn't want baseball helmet ice cream? Nom, nom, nom. Uncommon Goods has something for everyone. From moms and dads, history buffs, diehard football fans, or mixologists, you'll find thousands of new gift ideas that you will not find anywhere else. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3 million to date. So shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/Zabe. That's uncommongoods.com/Zabe for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. You know football, and you pick winners all the time. So why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over $500,000 to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season, exclusively at MyBookie.
Here we go. Snap was low and the kick no chance. And this game belongs to Philadelphia. Here we go.
Well, wasn't that some shit last night? It is a Wolfie Wednesday. It's Tuesday today, right? Yes, we're recording on Tuesday. This airs on Wednesday. And look who the cat has dragged in. My boy Brian Wolf, who was at the Packer game last night. And Eric John Getter of...
James still.
John.
It's always James.
Oh, it's always James. Fuck you. Hear you. Eric Getter joins us here on the ZabeCast. Oh my God, boys, we have a lot of shit to go through as the Eagles beat the Packers 10-7 in the worst Monday night game ever.
You know, you were in the stands in the upper deck freezing your giblets off, Wolfie. It was cold, right? Even for you, a Wisconsin boy?
Yeah, very cold. I planned accordingly, and I was still cold.
Yeah. So. You did not get to hear, like Gitter and I did, the pathetic spinning and shilling by Buck and Aikman about, well, you know, it's a pretty compelling 0-0 game.
Yeah.
Those were actually uttered at halftime,
and it's like, what are we doing?
They actually said that. Compelling.
If you like bad football, that was a great game for you.
Oh, but wait, Wolfie.
If you thought Thursday night was bad, we'll one-up you and make it worse.
You're right. That was a hold my beer. Thursday was better because it was entertaining incompetence.
Yes, 100%.
You kind of jinxed it with your podcast yesterday.
Why? Because I said guaranteed Packer win. They're going to have one of those great games?
No, you're talking about how bad the game was on Thursday.
Oh, right. Yes. Yeah, bad football is still better than no football. This was a dog shit game. And then the second half happened. And then all hell broke loose of dumb fucking decisions from both LaFleur and then Sirianni. Sirianni almost said, you know what? You're so dumb, LaFleur, here. You want the game back? I'll give you the game back.
Yeah, here's a free coupon.
Right.
You can have the game back.
Well, I got to apologize. Wolfie tweeted us mid-second quarter, I hate this team. Right?
That sounds about right.
That's what was happening.
I hate this team. Now, that could have been the cold speaking. It could have been a lot of things. I responded with, come on now. These are two heavyweight teams. They're feeling each other out. Now, it turned out that Matt LaFleur called the shittiest game of his life. And Nick Sirianni was not better. You know what's funny is I've been listening a lot and watching a lot to Philly media. They're as pissed at Sirianni as we are at LaFleur. Just they've got a Super Bowl ring to show for it.
Well, and they're 7-2, which
also and helps. They're 7-2. Exactly.
Well, they won the game, so that helps.
Yes, right. But believe you me, they're still pissed off because that decision to try to yeet it to AJ Brown 4th and 6. Was so dumb. Like, had negative 100 strategic point value to it. Like, you idiot.
Well, and that wasn't their only bad decision of the game. I mean, earlier they come out first down, get an 8-yard pass, which I thought, what a brilliant play. Because now you're set up. You can throw it. You could run it. You could run it 3 times. And instead, they threw it twice, incomplete passes, and punted. And what are you doing?
Who's they? The Packers or the Eagles?
The Eagles.
Okay,
the Eagles.
Yeah, right. Well, neither team seemed to want to pass. Of course, they have not trusted Hurts passing pretty much all year. That's been the great frustration for A.J. Brown. And it's what, you know, Eagle fans are bitching about because Sirianni's got his boy Petrucco as their new OC. So, yeah. But let's focus on the Packers. Because now, Wolfie, Matt LaFleur is officially in the hot fucking seat. Agreed?
Should he be? Yes. Are we sure that he is?
Really? You don't think with the non-committal stance from the new de facto GM or team president policy, Ed Policy, old easy Ed Policy,
yep.
Must be nice, Gitter, to be born on third base with a rich daddy who worked
in
the
kidding,
NFL.
No kidding, right, man? Dad did it here. You can do it, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ed Policy quite pointedly said, I don't think now is the time, as he took over for Mark Murphy in July. He said, now I don't think is the time to extend anybody. And that was like, wow. Okay.
And at the time that came out, we're like, what are they doing? Like, LaFleur's got a really good record. The team seems to be trending in the right direction. Why not extend them? Why give them that lame duck status? Even though he's still under contract and Goody's still under contract through next season.
Correct.
So I didn't quite, and everybody's questioning at the time, but now it's like, it seems to be making sense. Are these the right guys to be running the team? And Ed Policy hasn't put his trust in them.
Well,
you know what they're saying?
They're saying that maybe LaFleur's suboptimal strategic year so far is because of the unnecessary pressure that Policy
put on
him. And my response is, oh, no, it's not unnecessary. It's good. this is the litmus test to know if this little goatee act with the perfect hair and the trimmed eyebrows has any fucking stones to operate with pressure with the sword of Damocles above his head.
Yeah, and it was a bad look for him to be on the sideline there, kind of leaning over the tablet and be like, all right, which of these plays actually will work? And he's got his back to the field, and it's like, wow. That was the first time, and I think I've been a pretty staunch MLF defender, and seeing that last night really
it was bad
made
look.
Me question my belief in him.
Right, it was
there,
like, did
there
you...
was a lot of there's a lot of great memes that came out of that picture, though.
Yeah.
So that was worth it.
All right, let's talk about some of the memes. One of them I saw was the football equivalent of using scratch-offs standing at the counter of Quick Trip.
Yeah.
You're just like, all right, one of these got to be a winner here. Scratch, 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 scratch.
Yeah. Well, one of them I saw, too, had like the Madden playbook if you're playing on PlayStation, and it had the same 10 plays, zone, read, right.
I think it was
one of them, but it's the same 10.
I think it was inside zone. And here's the problem.
Yeah.
On the fourth and one play that pretty much lost the game for the Packers, the Eagles, Wolfie, knew exactly what was fucking coming. Even Josh Jacobs said, yeah, they were yelling it out, and that's not a good feeling as a runner. It affected how I was going to try to run it, but it was still too late.
Sure. I mean, they knew the play. Well, here's the thing. They thought they knew the play. They guessed right. You see that happen often. But if Jordan Morgan wins his block, you're still going to get the first down.
Okay. If, ands, and buts, candy, and nuts, what a world it would be. How about the fact that it was a play they knew where they were coming? And it's a shotgun run on fourth and short. And if you weren't set, which, by the way, Wicks wasn't, because it wouldn't have, if they'd gotten it, they would have been called back anyway by penalty, then, you know, call a timeout. Even though I hate to do that, on fourth down, I know, you're laughing. You're like, you're going against your principles here.
Yeah, all of a sudden here.
No, but call a fucking timeout. I mean, it was just disaster any way you slice it.
And Jacobs even said after the game, he fumbled because he was trying to lateral it back to Love like some street yard play.
Well, because he said, look, it's fourth down. It's the game on the line. Why not? Of course, it turned out that technically the game wasn't over because LaFleur did have two timeouts. And then Sirianni decided to go galaxy brain. So for those who didn't see the end of the game, I don't know who didn't, but I just want to set it up. Eagles get the ball back with 35 seconds to go. Wolfie didn't see the end of the game. When'd you leave, buddy?
As soon as we turned it over, I said, we got to go now.
Now. Hustle.
We have to leave. We have to leave right now.
Well, because it was a Milwaukee game too, right? So traffic was...
Yeah, traffic's brutal. So we actually, we didn't even go on the escalator. We hit the steps. And we went straight down, out, ran out the door. And then by the time we got in the car, we're pulling out, you know, right by Lodge Kohler there. And I go, hey, the Packers had the ball to end the game.
You're like,
and my buddy's
you're
like,
quick searching your phone, like, what the hell happened?
And my buddy's like, there's no way we would have heard people making noise or something. I'm like, yeah, man, apparently they missed a field goal.
Missed. That's a generous way to describe it.
Here we go. Snap was low and the kick no chance. And this game belongs to Philadelphia.
So there's a lot to unpack on the McManus. What was it, 64-yarder, I believe?
Yes, yeah, 64.
But anyway, who was it?
My buddy Charles,
Charles
from
okay.
Orlando. He's an Eagles fan.
Oh, no.
Boo.
Oh, no. You went keep your friends
man.
Close and your enemies even closer. Mm-hmm. That's okay, Wolfie. You're a good man for doing that. Was he talking shit, starting fights up there on the upper deck?
No. He was cool about it. In fact, he actually came up with the phrase because everybody's walking around and they're, you know, hey, go Birds, go Birds,
go Birds,
and he started replying, go Kurds.
Oh, go Kurds. Nice.
And I was like, oh, okay. I'm like, because he did, he's like, you know, I don't want to be too disrespectful, you got me seats here and all that. So
Wolfie, if you need to mute your mic and go be a dad for a second, you can do that, because I got some stuff to work on with Gitter.
Do you? I mean, he's fine.
Okay, good. Just shoo him out of there.
I gave him the finger and I moved him on.
There you go. So. Throw a barbell at him and that'll teach him. If you can dodge a barbell, if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. That's what I like to say.
So Patches O'Houlihan said.
So anyway. So not only was the fourth and one call from LaFleur dog shit, inside zone, totally predictable, out of the shotgun, and not calling a timeout when the team wasn't set. Hell, okay, so don't call a timeout. Take 5 extra seconds to just calm down. It's the ball game on fourth and one. In addition to all that, the second down percentage of runs was off the charts. Like 70% of all second downs were running plays by LaFleur, including on, you know, like second and sevens where they were getting 1.5 yards per game. A lot of analysts pointed this out, that the sequencing of LaFleur's play calling is also dog shit.
Yeah, Orlovsky said that today on NFL Live or whatever the NFL show he was on. He's like, they did not lose the game because of third and fourth down. They lost the game because of second down and the predictability of them running no matter what. Second and nine, second and seven, second and six, second and four. They're just going to run it no matter what.
The offense just has no rhythm. It's run, run. Oh, we need a third and nine pass. Let's just run it anyway. It's nonstop running the ball. We should pay Jacobs 3 times what we pay him because that's how we're using him.
Yeah, he's being overused. God forbid he goes down. What happens to this team if he goes down?
What are you doing?
What do you mean what am I doing? I'm living life assuming risk in life, Wolfie. It's a real thing. Okay, here's another what if. What if we never wasted $18 million on Aaron Banks, who sucks? The Aaron Banks All-22s at left guard are a horror show. He's a combination getter of a both turnstile, some plays, and a dessert cart on other plays. He's either easy to just flip over and go right past like a turnstile or move like he's on wheels.
And the people are complaining about the offensive line, and it's like, well, the Packers have invested in the offensive line, and shockingly, they fucking suck.
They are terrible. So here it is, IKE Packers report. Fix the O-line. Yeah, you mean the same O-line where Green Bay returned Zach Tom, Elton Jenkins, Rasheed Walker, added Banks on a $19 million deal, then spent first, second, and third round picks on Jordan Morgan, Anthony Belton, and Sean Ryan. At some point, a sane man would admit that it's got to be the Packers coaching.
Well, right. And who's responsible for the offense?
Matt LaFleur.
So what are we doing here?
So yeah, he's definitely on the hot seat now. Without question. Here's the question. And then, now this has now spilled into, I don't know if Jordan Love is the guy. Now, we are bracketed right here on this screen, Gitter, with the man who had the Jordan Love would make that throw trucker hat printed up, custom one of one, in Jordan Love's first year as a Packer when he was still in bubble wrap with the price tag on him.
I believe he also has a Jordan Love jersey autographed with Jordan Love makes that throw.
Wolfie?
Correct.
Are you still all in on number 10?
I'm not out on any of the players based on what we're seeing because all of it's a mess.
Okay.
So I don't know that any of them are put into good positions to succeed. Look at the O-line. We've seen those guys play well before, so at least three of them. We've seen Jacobs be effective many times. I mean, he's ineffective right now as well. Turning the wrong way on that potential it's a potential house call, right?
Well, not a house call. It was a 30-yard gain on a screen pass. He was wide open in the flat. He turned the wrong way. He turned inside instead of out. There was also another pass play. You probably didn't see it from the stands, Wolfie, where they had crossing routes with two receivers, and they just bumped into each other and stopped. And Jordan Love is looking at it. He's trying to read the play out, and he probably was like, what the fuck are you guys doing?
Yeah.
Right. The only player that I'm out on the offense is Romeo Doubs.
Yeah, you hate Romeo Doubs and the couch and grandma's couch cushion helmet. I don't like the Dobbs because of the stupid helmet, but he's had a million concussions, so I guess he thinks he's going to help.
Did you see the meme today of Dobbs? They said he had a chest contusion, and now they put him in the puffed up jersey. Puffed up.
Yes, exactly.
That was fantastic.
I did text, hey, Dobbs just went to the locker room, watched the offense move right down the field, and we went and scored a touchdown.
You did. Yeah. You did indeed.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that killed me was that at some point it looked like Wicks Island was open for business. And you know I'm a big Wicks guy like you are, Wolfie. And then on a big – and it was a tough catch to make. He drops what would have been a big 20-yard catch.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that would have – that's the problem that he's had is when he gets those moments to become the guy.
He's not.
That's when he's had his drops.
Yep. Yep, and that was another one right there. Of course, the Watson play where he broke up the long pass at the goal line, at first you're like, oh, that's a good heady play by the wide receiver to prevent a pick. And then they showed another angle of it, and you're like, bro, you're 6'5". You turn around. You high point the ball. You catch the ball. Somebody tweeted at Love should Watson and said, should Christian Watson have caught this? Christian Watson himself responded with a one word, yes.
Yeah.
I like the guy for that.
He didn't even have to high point it. It hit him in the helmet.
Yeah, like, it did. It
that's
did
true, it did. While he was breaking it up, it hit him in the helmet.
He could have turned around, looked up, and it would have just stuck. Like,
oh. Yeah, yeah. And then while we're bitching about things, little things that lose ball games, people said, you know, Musgrave on that 3rd and 10 or whatever, he catches in the flat, he turns upfield, and he just goes down real easy, like a lawn dart, 1 yard short that set up the 4th and 1. That was disaster. They were like, you know, Tucker Kraft was still out there. He would have truck-sticked 7 dudes.
1,000,000%.
And have to be dragged down 10 yards later.
Yeah. Yeah, that was unfortunate. Bo Melton being like whatever the 5th wide receiver after he was running on the – defense all week.
Yeah, we got corners out here playing wide receiver now. Yeah, it's what is this?
Here's what's crazy. I've been telling non-Packer fans, I'm like, oh, they got tons of receivers. They got 2 of everything. There's no reason they should have to play a fucking corner. Like, even with Golden out, you still got Reed, Dobbs, Wicks, Watson. That's 4 guys there, right?
Heath.
Yep. Where was Heath last night?
He ran around some.
He ran around a little bit, yeah.
Okay,
he didn't do
so
much.
There's 5. And then, you know, Musgrave is supposed to be a duplicate of Kraft.
Wasn't he supposedly the better pass catcher than Kraft?
He was. He was. And then Kraft kind of took over. But they have guys. They don't have that alpha number one. And they don't have any mojo between Love and a number one. I'm talking about just force feed a guy looks and touches and targets. Other teams do this all the time, even with old dudes. Look at the way Stafford force feeds 2 dudes, Puka and Devontae. And they're like,
is open all the time.
I know. That's
they force feed Dobbs. That's the problem.
That's the problem. Okay.
There was several routes where we've got 4 guys on the right side and from the Wrigley rooftops where I was sitting, you could see that Love still didn't even look to that side of the field. He was just waiting for Dobbs to have like the smidgen. And then he forces the ball and there's 2 defenders all over it. Why? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. I'm trying to look up team targets for the Packers.
54.
It's probably going to take me a little while, but yeah. I
think he has 54.
Okay. No, it's right. Yeah, you're right. It's right here. Targets is TGTS. 56 for Dobbs.
56. 34.
Okay. This is going to make me puke. You ready?
Oh, boy.
56 for Dobbs. 44 for Kraft. Broken now. Thank you. By the way, did you see the pregame special on him and his family?
Oh, that's great.
Wolfie,
so great.
You got to go find it and watch it. Okay. It's really good. Father died in a small plane accident because they have
a crop dusting
business out there. And was it North Dakota, South Dakota?
Yes.
One of the Dakotas.
North Dakota.
I'm not having a depressing enough week. You want to make me watch this story.
It'll be mildly uplifting. Along
it'll
with
touch
being,
your heart at least.
Yeah, it'll touch your heart. So Dobbs 56, Kraft 44, Jacobs 34, and then oof. Golden 29, Wicks 28 on down the list. Jesus, Reed only has 5 targets this year?
Well, he got hurt right
he's
away.
He's hurt.
Okay. Anyway, we got problems, and the problems are LaFleur is looking more like a coordinator every day, and Love is in a bad slump where there's just not rhythm or trust or confidence or anything. People are wondering, so you paid him $55 million. You going to let him loose? You going to let him cook it all? Let him throw?
Well, what happened to defense. The offense we had against the Cowboys?
What happened to the offense we had against the Steelers?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All good questions right there. You know football, and you pick winners all the time. So why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over a half a million dollars to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season exclusively at MyBookie. So the loss was really bad because with a win, you would have been the 2 seed. I know the playoffs are a long way away, but still.
Yep.
They went from being the 2 seed and 2nd in the division.
No, first in the division, 2 seed in the conference.
All right.
To 3rd in the division, to 7th in the conference.
Yeah. Okay.
So bad night to have a crappy performance. And I saw just before we started, the Packers have scored as many points in the last 2 weeks as the Wisconsin Badgers.
Oh, shit.
They didn't have to go there.
Yeah. Yeah. They've also
won.
They've also had first half scores of like 7-6, 7-3, 0 in the last 5 games, which is just atrocious, especially when your head coach is supposedly this great offensive mind, an elite schemer and everything else. It is bad right now, but where's the season right now? Because you know, on the grumpy old men text thread getter, there are guys saying the Packers won't win another game because that's what they do.
How bullish are you? I don't know if anybody said they won't win another game, but I thought there's a lot of like 7-9-1 predictions.
So that's
now,
like 2 more wins.
8-8-1 predictions.
Right.
And I jokingly jumped in right away this morning. Nope, 13-3-1. We're going to run the table here.
Of course, I'm the dummy that said this was going to be an 8-0 versus 8-0 game back after week 2. So, or week 1, actually.
I wasn't going to bring it up.
Well, listen, I own it. It's only the second
stupidest thing. I don't think you were alone in that prediction.
Well, okay, in fairness, they fucking should be. They lose by 3 to Cleveland. They lose in overtime, or they tie in overtime to the Cowboys. They lose by 3 to Carolina, and they lose by 3 to Philly. They've lost 3 games by 3 points. I could spin a much better tale, which is they're the closest team to undefeated that exists in the league. Calm down, everybody.
Yeah. And I said this last night on our text, you know, there's been 7 instances this year of teams giving up less than 17 points and losing, and Packers have 3 of those 7.
Not good. Jeff Hafley's got to be like, fuck. Jeff Hafley taking a big swig of coffee, putting it down, did my job.
Yeah, his quick trip coffee cup.
Well, how do you think Parsons feels? He's like, I thought I was coming to a situation where they knew how to win football games. Mm-hmm. And here we are.
Parsons is running roughshod through and around. I mean, he is creating havoc. Teams are just very good at being quite mindful of him.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be a Parsons apologist, but he is kind of unblockable. Kind of.
Well, and he's creating holes for other guys. I mean, we saw Evan Williams come and fill real nice. That gap was huge. Quay Walker's still a little bit slow in there, but he's creating these giant gaps for our defenders to be able to get in. Just because of what he does moving people around.
Hey, wasn't there a guy we drafted to be a stud defensive end was going to be our TJ Watt, white kid out of Iowa, said, yep. Come on, let's go at the draft. Whatever happened to him? Lucas Van Ginkle. No, Lucas. Yep. Lucas Van Ness.
I would take Van Ginkle.
Yeah.
I
mean, well, he's also missed some time.
Okay. Does he football anymore?
Not currently.
Okay.
I can't remember the last time I heard his name called in a broadcast.
All right. So you got Jenkins out now with a broken leg, which makes the already bad offensive line even worse. Aaron Banks in a sane world would be benched, but they can't because they paid him a lot of money. I see my friend Ken Ingles, the capologist to the Stars, already calculating the buyout on Aaron Banks after this year.
Wow. Okay.
And you got the following games left. So let's go play win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. Trying to stay calm because it's, you know, 3 losses by 3 points each. One of which was a throwaway Cleveland. Another was Carolina, which was stupid. And then this one. At New York with a interim coach.
Win.
It should be a win.
Home against the struggling J.J. McCarthy. Win.
Win.
Should be a win.
Should be a win. Okay. I mean,
our defense should tear him apart.
Absolutely. So now we're back to a nice, good record. 7-3-1. Everybody calm the fuck down. At Detroit on Turkey Day.
Loss.
Gobble, gobble, win. Gobble, gobble. Win, says Wolfie. Okay. Then we've got Chicago at Lambeau Field. The first of a Bronco sandwich with bear bread. Chicago at home on December 7th, then at Denver, and then back to Chicago the following week on Saturday before Christmas. Those bear games are going to be fucking wars.
Yes.
Loss, win.
I was going to say win, loss, loss. So.
Okay, what does that put us at?
8-5-1.
Okay,
and then, Wolfie has them at 9-4-1, I believe.
All right, then Baltimore and Minnesota.
I got two in there.
Baltimore at Lambeau, Minnesota on the road. That feels like a split. So we're looking at 10-6-1.
Yep, and probably a 6 or 7 seed.
Okay.
No home game for the playoffs. When we were talking about home field advantage earlier the year.
There is no home field advantage at Lambeau Field.
Was it loud on Monday night?
At parts.
Were there a lot of Eagle fans loud?
I didn't feel like there was a lot of loud Eagles fans. I don't know what it came like on TV.
I didn't really notice it. I don't think they were loud after the game on SportsCenter with SVP. Well,
that takes 50 people. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Eagle fans doing, we're taking over Green Bay, and they do like their E-A-G-L-E-S chant. And
they spelled it right, at least, unlike their mayor. So.
Right. All right, but it's, you know, you want to go, great, you went to the lobby. 50 of you went to a lobby.
Yeah.
There's more.
Yeah, I saw
Green
that.
Bay.
I think we
Green
all saw
Bay
that
is
one.
Green Bay is more than one Hampton Inn lobby. Just so you know that. Mm-hmm. All right. Anything else from the game itself, Wolfie? How was it? Other than cold as shit, way too early in the season.
Ultimately, what I've come to today is that I'm happy we lost. Instead of having another win that just kind of covers up all of these issues. Because at least it's all brought to the forefront. You know, it's going to be talked about now. Just the conjecture through wins doesn't do anything. But losing games like that is a thing. I mean, clock management was just the biggest, even right before half. We 4th and 7, and we let them run off 40 seconds on the clock, and then they punt. We get the penalty, punt again, we get the ball back with 1:52. If you take a timeout on 4th and 7,
yeah,
we get the ball back with 2:38, and you have the 2-minute warning. It's always poorly done.
LaFleur's never going to get it as a head coach. You're just going to have to accept that. If they're going to have success in the playoffs, they need to be up by 2 touchdowns going into the fourth. Any close game.
Hopefully that's enough.
At this point, he's the worst offensive coordinator in the league, so there's that.
It's not good. Okay, well, have we exercised all of the gripes and complaints to put this week to rest?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I feel better.
All right.
Then you can go watch that thing on Kraft, Wolfie, feel a little bit better then.
Yeah.
I figured we'd end today with the anniversary, I believe the 50th anniversary, mm-hmm. of the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, immortalized in song by Gordon Lightfoot. The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down at the big lake they call Gitchigumi. Gitchigumi. I've been sort of brushing up on the old Edmund Fitzgerald wreck. It is fascinating. It's appropriate, too, that the weather turned to shit right around the anniversary of when this boat went down with all the iron ore on board. I mean, you know, friggin' Lake Michigan and Lake Gitchigumi. Bad, bad weather can really rise up. And they used to lose, I want to say, between 30 and 50 ships a year on Lake Michigan.
Goodness.
Yeah, but that has
now... Why would you ever do it?
Well, they had to get the iron ore from up in Iron Mountain, Michigan, down to Gary, Indiana, I guess.
Oof.
But there's a guy I know. I played golf with a guy who he and a bunch of buddies go out camping and celebrate or remember the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. It's like a guy's just go out into a cabin in the woods and get drunk on bourbon. And I guess listen to this song a whole lot. I'm like, what a wild sort of annual treat. And this being the big anniversary, I hope they did it up and did it up big.
It sounds like a depressing weekend, actually.
I'm going to pass on that
other
trip.
Other than the bourbon part of it.
How many times in a row could you listen to this 5 minute and 58 second song before looking for rope in a chair?
Not even all the way through.
Not even all the way through once?
No. No.
When you sent this, I thought, oh boy, this is going to be a tough, tough segment.
Wolfie, you're a Wisconsinite. You know all about this story and about this legend.
Okay.
you have no thoughts on it? No angles on it? No nothing on it?
The porter made by Great Lakes Brewery is pretty good.
Very good, yep.
Oh, there's it is. What is it?
It's the Edmund Fitzgerald Porter.
Porter. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Has the family of the deceased approved of that? Because you know,
I doubt it.
You don't doubt know. It.
Highly unlikely.
I'm gonna get this factoid for you. Real quick, get her if you want to get fit for clubs. Now's the perfect time, end of the year, right before Christmas.
Yeah.
Go into Club Champion there in Mequon.
Yes, sir.
And just say I'm here because Zabe told me to go see you get her.
Yes, and I will
help fit
I'll
me
get
in.
Your $20 spiff then back to you when that happens.
Wolfie, what's going on at Natty Oaks and also Henry Flock Steakhouse?
Sure, we're just setting up for Christmas, and we've got the Dine in the Domes going December, Monday through Thursdays and Saturday nights.
And what are those, for those that don't know?
A 90-minute session in your own personal igloo, you and seven friends.
And a visit by?
The big guy, Santa Claus!
Santa Claus! Yes! Santa Claus! It's Santa Claus! He comes in there and he sits with you. It's a beautiful treat for young and old.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Billboard charts. This song, 5 minutes and 58 seconds about a depressing shipwreck with no chorus whatsoever.
No.
A slow, lyrics-laden song.
Yep.
Was on the Billboard charts. You ready for this?
Oh my God, I can't. If it's more than 3 weeks, I'd be shocked.
It spent 21 weeks on the chart. God. It reached number 2 at one point.
In the rooms of her ice water mansion.
Must have been a bad time in the history of our country. This was
How bad were the rest of the songs?
Now, Gordon
Lightfoot. ABBA back in the day at that time. So
yeah.
Probably.
Now, Gordon Lightfoot, you know, he didn't have many other hits. Here's my biggest question. So when this thing went to the moon, and then he's coming off the high of this, and he can't write a hit, and nothing is charting, how do you think he handled that? And do you think he got into a fight with his band members where he's like, come on, man, we got to write a hit song? How hard can it be?
And he maybe went on a boat on Lake Michigan in November.
And maybe one of his band members said sheepishly, sort of like Nigel Smalls in Spinal Tap, quietly, he might have said, "Well, you could write another song about a shipwreck." 29 times for each man. No, we're not doing that again. I hit lightning with one song. Nobody cares about these other shipwrecks. I don't know. It's just a suggestion, you know? Yeah. It worked once, Gordon.
Yeah.
Sorry, Gordon. Sorry you can't write a hit. Hope you sleep at night.
What was number one when this got to number two? Do you have that in front of you?
Number one, it said it knocked out Rod Stewart's "Tonight's the Night." Oh. How about that, huh?
Huh. Wow.
Yeah. How about this? I bet somebody at some point said, I ran out of time on that. I bet somebody at one point said,
"That's impressive." Know,
made it 5 minutes and 58 seconds.
Yeah. I bet one of the band members said, it could be a little shorter. It doesn't need to be a full 5:58. Like, you
about
got a lot of
3 minutes, 58 seconds shorter would be great.
Right. You got a lot of details in there of the shipwreck. Like, we could edit that down. Yeah, it's a very sad story. Trying
what
to get
was the
iron ore.
BPM of the song? Did you look that up?
Is it danceable?
One of the banger lyrics of this song. Oh my God!
All right. They're like, "Are you high? Why are you looking that up? Because it's clearly not a banger."
All right, Brian Kelly is trying to get the old lawyer fuckovery by LSU.
Trying to get the bag.
Well, the lawyers are like, "Well, we might just fire you for cause." Apparently, one employment lawyer who specializes in coaches' buyouts said the chances of LSU successfully firing Kelly for cause a week later when they just first mentioned this and all the other parameters was approximately zero.
Yeah. It was like, Costanza, I didn't really quit.
Yeah.
You didn't really fire
me. Somebody said Kelly should just show up on the sideline with a coaching shirt. Like, well, okay, I'm back, I guess.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
I'm here. Let's run some drills.
Yeah, these fucking lawyers. You know, what good is a contract? It stipulates in black and white in writing in all kinds of clauses and codicils, you will get this if X, Y, or Z happens. And then X, Y, or Z happens and they go, yeah,
maybe not.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
And the bad thing is I've got to defend Brian Kelly, who should never be defended for anything, the kid-killing asshole that he is.
Mm-hmm.
But here we are. Oh, and Nico Harrison, Wolfie, got fired today as the GM of the Mavericks, the man who traded away Luka in his prime, albeit a bit fat, for pretty much a bag of beans, and the perennially injured Anthony Davis, who is currently injured, just like Kyrie Irving, and the Mavericks were out to a 3-8 start. So, Nico, here I go!
What took so long?
Right, what took so long?
They
want
to see how good the first 11 games are going to be, apparently.
And if there's a lot of Cooper Flag sick highlights going around, I ain't seeing them. So
I saw Giannis dunk over him last night.
Yeah, I saw one.
Wolfie went to the Bucks game the other night, Sunday night, I believe. How was it?
It was great for 98% of the game.
Yeah. The ongoing refereeing disrespect of Giannis is insane. Oh,
it's
outrageous.
Disgusting.
It's wild. I mean, it's just as much a problem as the tush push situation that we didn't even talk about.
Well, they
missed another false start last night on that, too, by the way.
Two of them, but we got away with one. It was minimally egregious. And then the Eagles had a wildly offsides tush push, and they missed it. Yeah. The NFL. Well, we're going to have the referees look at it closer. Mm-hmm. The referees.
No, you're not.
People with sticks and blindfolds on. Idiots. Mm-hmm. Okay, boys, good run today. Thank you so much. Wolfie, thank you for being patient on the minimal Chinese technology I've provided for you guys, microphones, ring lights, and more. We'll keep perfecting it, and we'll chat next week. Thanks, boys.
See ya.
Thanks.
You know football, and you pick winners all the time. So why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over $500,000 to be won. Make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season exclusively at MyBookie.